Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Scaling the Gap. I am so delighted to share with you a really special guest today, and he's someone really special to me because he is part of our podcast production team, and he is actually the one whose team makes the magic of our podcast happen. So I'm really, really excited to introduce you to him, to get the opportunity to have his work shared more broadly with my audience here and for us to talk about his story. So Billy Salibi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited, Madeline. I've been looking forward to this ever since we got it booked in the calendar. And, you know, I think the world of you and I love the work you're doing and excited to dive in and have a fun conversation. So let's
go. Awesome. Well, let's go. I'm here for it. So I know I already dangled the idea that you do all the production for our show, but why don't you tell our audience a little bit about who you are and the work you do out in this world, and then we'll dive into how you came into this crazy world of podcasting.
Yeah, happy to share. So I got started in entertainment a few decades ago and worked in Hollywood, big budget movies, and then sort of had an interesting career trajectory. I got out of Hollywood and into solar. And along the way, I worked in production for companies. Randomly, I found my way back into creative. I created a TV show called Solar City TV when I worked at Solar City. And then I did onboarding for Tesla. I was the global head of sales and product training for them. And then flash forward to today, when I left Tesla, I said, how do I combine entertainment and education, and a podcast was a good fit. So I started my own show. And as you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. So I built a team, needed help. And that's what I got in the team. And then I was like, there's a business here because surely other people need help. And really at our core, what we do is we buy people back their time. There's a lot of parts of the equation, as you know, to produce a podcast, especially consistently.
Yes.
And so our company flexes in and does all the back end production, everything from making the show to marketing the show, monetization, A to Z. Our team does that. And really our core focus is people like you, right? People that have had success in their career and now they're paying it forward and they're giving back by sharing some of the blueprint that they've developed and the blueprint of others to help and give other people roadmap that they could follow to be on their own success journey. So now, you know, we produce a bunch of shows that help people in ways that make an impact in their lives.
Yeah, that's so cool. And one of the awesome things about podcasting is you can hear a podcast at any time. You can listen at any time. It's always there. Once it hits that production place, it's out there in the world. And there have been so many cool opportunities where people have said, oh, Madeline, I was listening to your show on blah, blah, blah. And it's a show that I recorded a long time ago. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I did do a show about that. You know, and it's very exciting to know that this is evergreen content. This is content that when you share it, people can tap into it at any time. And kind of that delight of it's not a show that it airs one time and then you can never see it again. And that evergreen nature of podcasting for me is just such an exciting component because you get to continuously add to a vault of really, really cool content. So I know that on your side, you're always looking for shows that help people, right? That really give that blueprint, like you were saying. What made you want to dig into that? Yes, the entertainment side, but more that education, helping people side, right? Because that's a special component part that's not always part of the entertainment paradigm. What triggered you to look specifically for that?
Yeah, great question. So I think your point's really, really important, which is you can build a body of work that accumulates over time, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. If we think about it, one thing I always kind of remind myself is I have a 13-year-old, and I'm thinking to myself, he's not listening to my podcast today. I'll be real about it. He's not. But what about in
my
5 years?
My son is not either.
What about in 10 years? He might. He might listen. What if his kids want to listen? What if their kids want to listen? And so there are universal truths that apply cross-generation they're timeless, really.
Yeah.
And so in answer to your question, the reason why I gravitated towards education, and I would say it's edutainment, right? It's entertaining while also being educational, is because we go through our lives and we learn from experience, yes, but we could also learn from other people's experience. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a shortcut, kind of like a fast pass, where you get to get the experience of others quickly. And because of that, you don't necessarily have to make the same mistakes through trial and error, and you could accelerate your trajectory to whatever it is that you want to do. So it could be a skill, it could be a mindset, it could be just behaviors that you want to develop or an attitude that you should have to be successful. When you listen to other people who've been down a similar road to yours, you can gain that wisdom. And I like using that word specifically, gain that wisdom by cluing in on specific things that they've done or they've learned from or mistakes they've made. So you don't have to make those same mistakes. So to me, there's nothing that makes my heart more full than being able to provide that for other people through a channel and a medium like podcasts, because podcasts do something very unique. We talked about this before the call.
Sure.
The voice vibrates. There is something very special, something very deep and rich about the human voice that we don't really think about. The first thing we hear, even when we're, not to get too woo-woo, but when we're in the room, we hear the voice, we hear the vibration. It's something that's innate in us.
Yeah.
And so we're, you know, for generations, for eons, we've been learning from others and learning and connecting from the human voice. We told stories around the fire, you know, ages ago. And now the stories are what tap into emotion. And emotion is what we remember. And when we tap into emotion and the vibration of the voice and these connected human stories that we relate to, that's when behavior changes, because that's when we resonate and identify with what that other person is talking about.
I love that. So I really want to touch back on a couple of these themes that you brought up. So you talked about, first of all, edutainment. I love that, right? It's both education and entertainment. I always say that if you teach something, I teach a lot of sessions live, right? You come to a session, you invest in the session, you show up and you got some really great little nuggets and you got really excited, but then you don't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's just information without implementation. It's just entertainment, right? So this can be your edutainment, right? Where you're getting educated and the education actually incites the action, right? And I love this connection of this transmission of wisdom that you can learn the vicarious nature. You watch someone else or hear someone else having made a mistake, having stepped right into a hole that you're just about to step into, and you can sidestep that hole and really transfer their wisdom into your life and have that transmission impact your choices going forward. It's pretty profound.
It really is. And I think the cool thing is that you, as a guide, and if you're a podcaster, if you create content, if you do some sort of transformation of wisdom, you're in the driver's seat in terms of how that information gets applied. Mm-hmm. So it starts with making it memorable, which is why we always strive to tell stories, and to infuse stories into what we're sharing. And then the second piece is, how do we follow up and take action? I think your point is so, so well taken, because if you're just downloading knowledge and you're not actually putting it into action, you're missing a huge part of the equation. And so the thing I did when I was in training and the thing that I do now is think, okay, what is a way that somebody could apply? What's a short and quick hit that they can do immediately following this lesson? It could be that you ask them to send a DM. It could be that you ask them to take action and share it on social media. It could be that you ask them to calendar block something to do this specific activity. I mean, there's so many ways you can do it. And it's kind of about holding yourself accountable, and not just yourself, but having other people hold you accountable, because we know we could always ignore a calendar invite to ourselves, but are we going to ignore a calendar invite to somebody else? And so I think embedding that type of philosophy into whatever it is we do helps us get things done, right? As opposed to just heard. When we think about the lives that we lead on a daily basis, we have decisions to make, and it's all about prioritization. And where do we prioritize the activities that we do? I like to say activities drive results.
Yeah.
So if we have a list of activities that we know will help us achieve the results that we're after, we're a lot more likely to get there if we take massive action and we focus on the volume of whatever activity it is that we know will achieve the result that we want. That activity needs to be the one that we're doing the most consistently. Yeah. And that's when we have to build that continuous behavior to make sure it gets done.
Yeah. We always call our tasks that we give to our clients, we call them MIOs. It's a short little acronym, stands for massively important outcome. Because if something is not massively important and connected to an outcome, why are you spending your life doing the BS? Right? Why are you spending your life on little piddly stuff that doesn't need to be done at all? Right? Much less be done by you. Right? And there certainly are things as business owners, as leaders, there certainly are things that you can delegate that absolutely need to be done, but doesn't need to be done by you. Right? So that whole idea of being able to filter through all of the available options, being able to filter through all of the tasks and the to-dos and to identify what are the massively important outcome moving things that we can tap into. And also to be wise about how much edutainment you take in, yeah. Right? Because if you just listen and never give yourself time to act, sometimes it has a negative effect because you get overloaded with ideas and you don't use them. Mm-hmm. So then you feel like you're just not doing enough versus saying, okay, this idea I'm going to go use today, right? That judicious use.
So true. We focus so much on the doing, right? Like we're just trying to do. But are we doing the right thing? I boil success in a lot of ways for the people that I've worked with and for whether they be founders or entrepreneurs, business owners, people that have seen success, they do three things really, really well. Number one is they prioritize. Mm. They know what's important. They know what they should be doing, but more importantly, they know what they should not be doing.
Yes. They have a strong no. They know how to say no.
You got to have a strong no, for sure. Yep. Number two is they focus. Mm. Do it. Now, don't get me wrong. There's plenty of people that get distracted, but the ones that are really successful, they're able to focus on those high priority items. Mm-hmm. And the last part is they know how to manage their energy levels, or more importantly, they know how to lean in when their energy is at the right place to be able to focus. So for example, they focus better in the morning than the afternoon.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's when you should be doing those high impact activities that are going to drive the results. Because you can be doing the wrong things all day and staying really busy and you're not going to see success. But if you focus on the right things at the right time, the results will be there for you.
Yeah. And you actually go further faster. Early on in my entrepreneurial journey, I was building a lot of content for manufacturers. And we were building out these really cool slide decks and this really cool content and teaching it in webinars. And I would always complain to my mom, who I happened to live with at the time. So I was in my 30s. I had had a baby with my son's father. Our relationship went kaputs. And I moved back home, right? Which was a very hard thing for me to do prior to having my relationship with my son's dad. I was a very successful corporate executive. So to move back home with my parents into the room that I lived in as a little kid with a 16-month-old baby was not an easy thing to do. But what ended up happening is I had someone to talk to about my stuff, which was my mom and dad. And I would come home in a long day and complain like, oh my gosh, mom, I don't know what is wrong with me. Like I wait to the last minute to get these things done. And then it's really stressful for me. It's stressful for my team. They get done, but gosh, it's so stressful. And so she encouraged me one day to just trial for 2 weeks of doing a little bit every single day of these big decks I was working on. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. I did a little bit every day. And by a little bit, it's like an hour, 30 minutes to an hour, 30 minutes to an hour, 30 minutes to an hour for 2 weeks. And at the end of it, I still wasn't done. And so what ended up happening is I still took another several hours to get it over the finish line versus accepting managing my own energy, that I've been thinking about it, working on the outline, building the pieces in my mind. Yes. And in the end, I would focus in an intense burst of energy and get it done in 4 hours. Was it a little stressful? Yes. But when I understood that that's how I ticked and I let go of the stress and strain and the self-judgment attached to it, I was able to embrace it because I wasted hours and hours and hours of time piddling around with something that just wasn't ready to come out yet. Right. So that component part, that number three, that managing your energy, understanding how you tick when you're at your best, when you can really play to your strengths. I always tell the story of like, you have a sheet of paper and a magnifying glass. And if you run outside and you focus the magnifying glass just right in the sunshine, it'll burn a hole in the paper. But you can't just flail around the paper and the magnifying glass like a crazy lady and hope to do anything, right?
Right.
So, but when you can hold your hands really, really steady, that's that one you talked about focus and catch the light and make it turn into a laser beam, you can burn a hole in the paper. So that concept of managing your energy, focus, prioritization has a lot to do with understanding yourself and understanding what you're about. What are you trying to achieve?
Know thyself. Love yep. that. And what a great analogy to illustrate the point, right? When we know ourselves, we know how we tick. I mean, I totally relate to your story because I'm a perfectionist, but two, sure. without fail, every assignment I had in school, I would always be at the last minute.
Yes.
And it was done well. And you know what? That's how I operated.
Yeah.
The more you know yourself, the more you can find that laser focus time to shift and be the magnifying glass at the right time, at the right place. Brilliant. Like, I love that. For us, people that are doers and want to be the best that we could be, I think our default is busy. So I think sometimes it takes a little bit of reflection and maybe even documentation, writing down what we're doing. Yesterday is an example. I found myself doing something and I was like, God, where did the time go? I just spent 2 hours. And what was I working on? I thought to myself, that is something I should not have been doing like at all. So why did I spend the 2 hours doing it? I could have been doing something different. So document what you do. If you're in the prioritization phase and like really starting to identify, actually kind of take inventory of what it is you're doing over a day or 2 days, or even, you know, maybe even a few days, maybe a week, and make a journal, document what you're doing, and then take the time to reflect and see, okay, what could be removed? Because we all have the same number of minutes in the week, right? All of us.
Yep.
It's not a difference. It might feel different, but some of us do a much better job of figuring out how we're utilizing those minutes.
Yeah, that's right. I give people 3 questions to ask when they've done that exercise.
Oh, nice.
The first question is, does this have to be done by me? Right? Does this have to be done at all? Does this have to be done now? So tyranny of the urgent takes over, right? You think that, oh my gosh, it's got to be done now. It doesn't. You said budget the time. Plan the time. If you know it needs to be done on Thursday, give yourself time on Thursday. If you're a person who works to a deadline and you're going to focus best at the very bitter end, give yourself that 2-hour time bucket and go do it. And forgive yourself on Tuesday and Wednesday for not touching it because you're going to do it on Thursday, right? That's another part of it. This manage your energy piece, just can't keep coming back to it because some of it is also plug up those energy leaks, and shame and blame and self-judgment and all of that is a massive energy leak where you can be far more productive. You can also have a greater sense of calm and appreciation for yourself if you are not constantly beating yourself up with a stick of shame and blame.
Could not agree more. And what you reminded me of is I interviewed someone at Franklin Covey, and I think it was Corey Kogan. I've interviewed a bunch of people from Franklin Covey, and they're famous for the time matrix. Mm-hmm. And it's urgent, important, urgent, not important, you know, not urgent, important, or you know, the four
yeah, neither. Neither urgent nor important. Even at all.
Exactly. Neither urgent nor important. But the second the important but not urgent gets abandoned because you're in triage mode, focusing on the urgent things that you have to get done. But guess what? Sometimes those things that aren't necessarily urgent but are very important, those are those big picture things that allow you to thrive, that allow you to be as effective and as efficient. It may not need to be done immediately, but guess what? You're putting it off because you're so keyed in on this, like, I got to get this done because the wheels are going to fall off the track if I don't get this done.
Yeah,
and absolutely. So we naturally default to, I think in a lot of ways, to be chaotically focused on the moment, what needs to be done, when in reality, that real deep, effective work on the things that are going to be majorly important, but maybe not urgent at the time, those are the exponential level work that you could do, that you could spend time on, and that's going to help you grow and help you thrive and take quantum leaps in your business.
Yeah.
You want to take quantum leaps, focus on that quadrant, the not urgent, but very important.
Okay. So I loved that you said the chaotic way that we work, right? Your life doesn't have to be chaos. Your work doesn't have to be chaos. That decision to give time to things that are important can be wildly transformational, right? Because someone told me, well, Madeline, I don't have the time. And if I had a penny for every time someone told me I don't have the time, I had a lot of pennies.
Hey.
You're not going to have the time. You have to make the time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to tell your time how you're going to use it. Otherwise, you know, like what happened to you yesterday, it flitters through our hands and we're like, wait a minute, where did those 2 hours of my life go?
Right.
Every single person has the same amount of allocated hours. It's how we choose to use them that really affect where we end up going in our lives.
You control how you manage your time. The problem is that people either forget that or they don't take the time to reflect and think about, is this really the best use of my time? Love your looking at it from that perspective. I have something similar. It's like, can it be automated? Can it be delegated? Can it be removed? Mm-hmm. Is it something that me and only me should be doing? It's in my zone of genius that really requires me to do it. That's where I need to be focused. That's where I need to be spending most of my time.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. Automated, delegated, removed. Same, very similar, Ben. Just a tiny different. I like the word choice. It's nice. A little more sticky. I love it. I love language. So that always speaks to my heart. So in this journey of amassing all of this wisdom, which I have loved jamming with you on over these last few minutes, it's so fun. I'm curious, this sounds to me like these have been hard-won lessons, that this has not come, you know, just by you vicariously soaking it up through others. It sounds like you also have gone through the school of a little bit of hard knocks. So throughout this journey, what has been an unexpectedly difficult part of it for you?
Good question. So I think that every part of my journey, whether it be entertainment or being corporate or be now, had a lot of things that were challenging that I had to overcome. When I interviewed somebody early on my podcast journey, a founder of a company I worked for, he said something that really stood out and it still stands out today. He says, nothing will happen as fast as you think it will. Mm-hmm. And that really, really struck a chord then. It strikes an even bigger chord now. So business ownership in particular, we are looking and projecting, forecasting where we want the business to be. And I think in a lot of ways, as business owners, we tend to be optimists. We tend to be world's our oyster. We can do anything, be anything, and accomplish anything. But what we also do in doing that is we sometimes look at too optimistic of a forecast that can cause us to be a little bit more in mode where we're having to navigate through challenging times. And so for me and my business, we've grown every year.
Yeah.
It took longer for us to get to where I thought we'd be each step of the way, right? Like first year took, you know, probably twice as long as I thought it would take. So I think that's one big challenge, is remembering that things might not happen as fast as you think.
Yeah.
I think in some cases you could have things accelerate and things go quicker, but by and large, what I've realized is you got to account for the unexpected, account for things not going just perfect. You got to be adaptable. You got to be dynamically capable to adjust and pivot. I feel that the reason that you and I are talking and that we as humans exist today is our ability to be dynamic and our resilient nature. Mm-hmm. So I think resiliency is important. The other piece, and going back to your question and thinking about like, okay, what are those challenges that I face, or what are the things that I've overcome? To me, a big one is mindset. And mindset, without question, if you're going to work on one thing, that's it.
Yeah.
Even optimists also, this is like the other side of the equation. Even optimists, we doubt. We have an inner monster. Like I interviewed somebody that called it your inner monster that like talks in your head, and they're loud, right? They're like, you can't do this, or you're not, this isn't you, or blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
You gotta be able to turn that monster down. You might not be able to entirely, right? But the monster will be there, and it'll every now and then it'll, the volume will creep back up, turn the volume back down. Mm-hmm. And it comes back to like the principles that are outlined in books like Think and Grow Rich, right? You have a fertile garden in your mind. You could either choose to plant negative seeds or positive seeds. And what that garden then yields is a result of those seeds that you're allowing to go into your brain. And so when we focus on mindset, we start to silence the inner critic and the doubter and the imposter syndrome and all the things that we all have. I don't care who you are. We all have these.
Yeah.
That's the unlock that I had. And so the list is long in terms of when that voice has come out.
Sure. But
I think that's a really big thing that I realized, that along the way, that voice is just a voice. That's not necessarily real.
Yeah. And I love that when we talk about mindset, so often people think it's woo-woo. They think like, oh, that's a little bit new agey and woo-woo and let's sit by the fire. And like, no, that's actually not. So sometimes the way we talk about it sounds different. So one of my favorite quotes because it's so concrete and because of who says it, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right.
Right.
And who said that was Henry Ford.
Yeah.
Right? Was he a woo-woo dude? Not so muchy. Right? Like he's the father of modern automotive assembly lines and factories. And like, this is not a dude who was like, let's do woo-woo stuff around a fire wearing flowers in our hair. Like that was not who he was. And he is the one who originally coined that phrase. And it's the power of our capacity to create our reality through our mind, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. Like, what an incredible thing to know about yourself and then to be able to be empowered to take action on.
What you're talking about here is so, it's so important that we gotta strengthen our self-belief.
Mm-hmm.
When we focus on really bolstering anything that's going to command our belief set to strengthen, we can do remarkable things. Obviously, Ford is a fantastic example. I love that quote too, and I've shared it many, many times. Because if we believe it's not going to happen, guess what? It's not going to happen. If we believe it is going to happen, we will manifest it. We will help it become reality because we're committed to making it happen, and we start to figure out, how do we make this happen? And that's why these quote woo-woo things, they actually work, is
they
because
work.
We're more likely to take actions to prove it to work than otherwise be the case. I also think accepting that not everything will be perfect is an important part of the equation. I interviewed my cousin and he shared something that a boss told him, which I love this concept, which is it's okay for version one to not be version 10 or even version two. And so when you think in versions, you give yourself the freedom and flexibility to iterate. And when you build in public and when you do things that you could get feedback on and you could iterate on, you're starting better than if you keep it all to yourself until you get to version 10, because now you're getting improvements from each of your versions. So version one will be improved to become version two. But if you don't think in versions and you are so afraid because that inner monologue, that monster is telling you don't release, don't release, don't ship, don't put it out there, you're missing huge opportunity of feedback and iteration.
Yeah. I love that. I just this morning watched the very first mini series of videos that I ever created and put out there. And it was very interesting to watch it. I mean, honestly, they were darn good, right?
Nice.
They were 10 years ago. They were darn good. Video quality is not quite what it was today. And I actually remember where exactly I was. And I think I have a picture of my really, really, really janky video setup that I made those videos happen on. But hey, we made it happen. And here we are today, right? Pretty amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, Billy. This has been really cool. Have a lot of really great nuggets of wisdom, you know, about this concept of the buzzing of the voice and the tonality and that tapping into that oral tradition of passing wisdom along through story, the prioritize, focus, managing energy, the three keys to highly successful individuals that you've watched, the power of reflection, the power of identifying your actions, journaling about them, seeing what can be automated, deleted, and removed, right? I love that. It's so, so, so good. And that, you know, giving yourself grace along the way to quell that inner monster, to give yourself the delight and actually sometimes the relief of a little bit more protracted timeline. Mm. Just give yourself the breathing room. It's going to take a little longer. It's okay. One of the things that I often say is I'll say, listen, if we get here by this time or here by this time, who's sad? Nobody. Nobody, not even, I don't even have to be. Nobody needs to be sad about it. Nobody on the outside is sad about it. That's for darn sure. So why am I allowing myself to be sad about it, right? Like, it's just an arbitrary timeline that we have become attached to. It's not necessarily the harbinger of whether or not we're successful or not.
I remind my team, unless you're a surgeon, no one's on the operating table. As important as the work that all of us do, and it is important, I don't want to minimize that. If something's not perfect, if something's not going according to plan, that's okay. You're making incremental steps. And to your point, giving yourself grace. And you talk about giving yourself that added timeline. Mm-hmm. I love this Bill Gates quote. You know, people overestimate what they could do a year and underestimate what they could do in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's so true that like we can do remarkable things over a period of time. And so giving yourself a little bit of room, real estate, timeline-wise is invaluable.
Yeah, Really, really powerful. So with all of this incredible context and all the stories of your ups and downs throughout your career trajectory, everybody knows I'm going to ask it. I know, here we go. My one mandatory question every single time. Billy, do you consider yourself to be successful?
Absolutely. I knew you were going to ask this question. And I thought to myself, when we think of success, success is not a destination. Success is a journey. Mm. And success is how you show up every day. Success is doing the things that you know are the right things to do. And even if they're not always perfect, that you're putting the best version of yourself into the world. And I could say without hesitation that that's who I am. Beyond the accolades and the accomplishments, yeah, I have those. I have the awards. I have the promotions. I have the resume. That to me is a certain window to look through and a certain lens of success. But to me, success really is about how one shows up in the world in a way that is positive and that they could stand by. And it's also about the relationships in your life. You know, they say success and happiness is measured by one thing more than any other. It's by the people in your life. And I am so grateful to have so many wonderful friends and family and colleagues and people who I've built relationships with over time. And that's been a constant throughout my life. And so if I were boiling down, like, hey, how do I track and how am I doing? I'm pretty good. Like, I feel very fortunate that I'm a happy person by nature. And I realize that some of that is genetics and some of that is, I'm being candid here, that I got dealt a pretty good deck. My dad's a happy guy. I'm a happy guy. We're jolly fellows. And so I know not everybody has that. Some people have challenges and I feel I guess lucky or fortunate that that's the case. But then part of it also is I could have that natural disposition, but I could also self-sabotage or do things that would prevent that from showing up in an organic and real way. I guess you could say I'm grateful that I haven't done that. Have I had a perfect trajectory? No, there's been pitfalls and mistakes and, you know, hindsight being 20/20, could I have done that differently or this differently? Yeah, we all have those things, but it's not about whether or not those things exist. It's how are you showing up the day after? How are you showing up the year after? How are you showing up the decade after? And removing the friction of negative association and regret and moving towards what are the things that I'm doing to positively show up today to make those around me and the work that I do, make it show up in the best way possible. And also looking and saying, hey, how can we make it better tomorrow? And not settling, continuing to raise the bar. So I think the accumulation of all of those things make me provide enough fulfillment to say without question, I'm successful.
I love it. I love it. So whenever people can detail out their own inner perspective of success, I love to take a success algorithm down for them and love see it. If I can backwards engineer through everything you said, turn some of the words, take some of the context of also our relationship and our working collaboration, and then this chat we've had, and see if I can come up with your personal Billy algorithm for success. So I'm going to give it a shot. Let me know if we're missing some pieces or where it is. Nice. So for Billy, success is finding joy in the journey, acting in alignment with the best version of yourself, the capacity to build, nurture, and mature robust relationships, being rooted in gratitude for your gifts, demonstrating resilience, and holding the bar high to consistently continue to achieve.
Very impressive. I need that. Now it's documented. I'm going to get the transcription from this and I'm going to plaster that on my wall.
Yeah. Oh,
brilliant. Well done.
Well, this is what you said. I just put it in different words.
Synthesized it in a beautiful way.
Synthesized it, yeah. I mean, I think it's really beautiful. Each one of us has something unique that we bring to our description of success, unique that we look at and that we hold ourselves to. And I really appreciated this. Hey, I've been dealt a really good hand, but you didn't say I'm grateful for my gifts, but you said it everywhere. Right? There's a heart of gratitude that ran through your expression and your willingness to acknowledge, right? Yeah, I did get some really wonderful things. And also I could F it up if I wasn't careful, right? So great gratitude allows you to see and acknowledge a gift and treasure the gift, right? So that's where that gratitude component came in, because there's a concept of treasuring by being mindful not to undermine the good things you've been given. And I really liked that. Appreciate that about you.
Thank you. Well, thank you for recognizing that and for putting that new synthesized version together on the fly. Like, very impressive. I'm not surprised. And I know that's what you do. And that's one of your gifts. And you're in your zone of genius when you do that. I think your ability to pick out those elements and then string them together in a really beautiful way. I'm grateful. So that's cool.
Oh, well, yay. I love it. It's very fun for me. It's mind candy, right? Yeah, what are they really saying? Because sometimes people will tell stories, and sometimes they will spend time on one factor or another factor, or, well, it's not this, or it is this, or isn't this, or this is missing. And it's interesting to listen for those little threads of what are they saying? What's in their heart? What's underlying? What's being said? What's not being said. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really beautiful opportunity for me to then reflect back the lovely thing that you believe and that you're holding the bar to yourself for.
There's subtext, and then there's what's being said, but then there's the underlying meaning.
Yes.
There's layers. There's nuance to it. I think there's some things that are not being said out loud, but it's being felt.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right. I think your ability to pick out those and weave it together is amazing.
Awesome. Well, this is my favorite part of the show.
Love it.
My favorite part of the whole show every time. So I want to thank you for being my guest today. Thank you for sharing all of your little nuggets of wisdom. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. Thank you for sharing this really profound and personal explanation of your success journey and your algorithm. Really beautiful thing. Definitely grab that transcription because it's a good one. And if people want to learn more about working with you, or they want to follow you, there might be people listening that think, well, what if I could have a podcast? The answer is you could, and Bentley can help. So where can they find you?
I love it. Well, thank you so much. And for sure, if anybody's listening that fits that description that wants to start a podcast, or that just wants to connect, you can find me on LinkedIn. Just type in my name, Billy. You could put Billy Samoa. That's my middle name. And that just, it's easier to spell than Salibi. Or you go to podify.com and then you could book time there. PODIFY.com. I'm very active on LinkedIn. Send me a direct message. Let me know that you heard the show or you saw the show and that's how you first got introduced. And then we'll take it from there. Love to meet you. If you want to talk, if you want to strategize, think about your platform, or if you just want to get to know me, that's fine too. I love building relationships. And sometimes it starts with a catalyst, like watching a show and saying, oh yeah, I want to talk to that guy.
Yeah. Right. What if that could be me? Interesting. It could. All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. And for those of you listening at home, never forget that you have the capacity to be and to become all that you desire, right? Give yourself the time, give yourself the grace. And remember that when you can prioritize, focus, and manage your energy, you too can be profoundly successful. All right. Thank you so much. Catch you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.